I'm going to turn today to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 55 for our Bible reading. Psalm number 55, reading that Psalm through in its entirety. You'll find the book of the Psalms in the middle part of the Old Testament. And we're reading from Psalm 55, beginning our reading at the verse number 1. And I encourage you, wherever you are, to get out your Bible as well. Read along with us. Pray that God will bless His Word to your heart, to all our hearts today. Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn and my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Though then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. And may God bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Let us bow just in a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we come now to thy precious and holy word, do speak to our hearts today. Give us grace to hear thy voice, what thou art saying to us. Not only grace to hear thy voice, but grace, Lord, to obey thy voice, to live out thy word in our lives. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Give help. Give divine enablement to preach your word. Give right words, clear words, plain words, simple words, words that are directly from the Lord. And bless thy word to every heart, to all who are listening, and all who will listen in, to the saving of the lost, to the strengthening of the saint of God, to the glorifying of Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen. Now, the verse of Scripture I want us to look at today as we continue on with some of the great promises of the Bible is the promise of divine support that we find in verse number 22 of Psalm number 55. And there it says, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In this life, we all have burdens to bear. Job could speak of man, and he could say, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It is true to say that, yes, some have more burdens than others to deal with in life. Indeed, some people have burdens and troubles that even their closest friends, even their nearest and their dearest, know nothing about. Yes, behind a smiling face, there can often be a broken heart. Indeed, the severest trials of life are often those trials that are unseen by others. And this is something that can often be the lot and the portion of God's people, as well as being the portion of the ungodly. Speaking of the child of God, the psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And here today in Psalm 55, we have an example of this in the life of David, the man who was after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, Bible commentators believe that David penned this psalm at the time of his son Absalom's rebellion, and also at the time of Ahithophel's treachery. And Ahithophel was a confidant of David. He had been a close counselor to David in past times. And it was a time when David himself was sorely tried. And you see that from what he says in verse 5 of the psalm, when he says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. He was overcome with fear, with trembling, with horror in his heart and in his soul. Now, this fact that he had carried, and he was now presently carrying a great burden in his life because of this trial, it is really seen and proven by what he says in our text in verse 22, when he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And no doubt when David uttered these words, he himself was speaking of first-hand experience. And as it was with David, so it can also be the same of you and I who are saved today. Yes, there are times when we may feel overwhelmed, times when we feel burdened down, in horror, maybe even of terror of soul, with life's problems and life's pressures. This is something that no child of God is immune from. The life of the Christian is not a flowery bed of ease, says the hymn writer. It is not a bed of roses, so to speak. The Christian, yes, can find themselves overwhelmed with the trials, the burdens, the difficulties of life. In other words, it's like a great sea rolling in upon them and rolling over them. Wave after wave of trouble or burden can be the portion of God's dear children. And it's for that reason then that I want us to consider this verse 22 of Psalm number 55. For here in this verse, as you look at, you will see the promise of God's support, the promise of divine support for his burdened people. We would consider this promise of divine support for the child of God. There are four things I want you to notice, and may God's word be a blessing and an encouragement to all our hearts today. Notice first of all here just the reality of burdens in the Christian's life, the reality of burdens in the Christian life. The verse says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Notice those words there, thy burden. And that little phrase there, thy burden, shows that burdens are a reality, a certainty in the life of the believer. The Apostle Peter highlights that same fact in his first letter when he says to God's people, casting all your care upon him. When he speaks there about your care, he's referring to the burdens, the trials of the life of the believer. This can be our reality, indeed a certainty for us all who are saved in this life. Yes, as God's people, we can have burdens that affect our homes and affect our families. You think of that occasion whenever Esau married Judith. The Bible says it was a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebecca, the parents of Esau, were greatly troubled at its marriage to this girl. Judith had caused heartbreak and heartache in that home and in that family. And then there are trials also that affect our business. You think of Job. Job was a very wealthy man, a man of great estate. He had much stock and animals, yet the Bible says this, that the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, and he lost all his substance and his wealth, and one day it was taken from him. Then there are burdens that relate to our work and our service for God. You remember Paul, what he said to the church at Corinth. He spoke to that church, and he spoke to them about the care of all the churches. In other words, there was trials in his heart and mind, and no doubt body as well, because of the service of God and the care of those churches in his life. Then there are troubles that have to do with certain friendships and relationships in life. And sometimes it can be the case that our closest of friends indeed can become our bitterest of enemies. And David tells us how this was his present lot in life through this man, Ahithophel. Look at what he says about him in verses 12, 13, and 14 of the Psalm. He says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid himself from me. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Here was a man that David had fellowship with, even in the very house of God itself. Yet you read the Old Testament record, you'll see that this man Ahithophel became a bitter foe of David, a bitter enemy of David. And sometimes our closest of friends can become our bitterest of enemies through circumstances in life. And then there are physical burdens that concern our health and our physical well-being. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? He was speaking to Timothy in his second epistle of Timothy chapter 4 verse 20 about another believer, another fellow Christian in the work of God by the name of Trophimus. And Paul said this to Timothy. He says, "Trophimus have I left sick at Miletum." This man, Trophimus, became sick and ill and had to be left in that place of Miletum where Paul had once served the Lord. I would certainly encourage you, if you can, to read the life story of C.T. Studd, that famous missionary of a bygone day to China and to Africa, greatly blessed and used of God, but he suffered terrible bouts of ill health in his missionary endeavors in Africa, especially through malaria. And he knew much by way of physical affliction. And then there are afflictions also that affect our minds with fears and despair and depression. These are realities for the believer. This was the case with Martha. The Lord spoke to Martha in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Her mind was overcome with fear and with despair. And then there is also the trouble of sorrow and death, something that we must all deal with and must all face should the Lord's return tarry. Again, think of Mary and Martha, and they were fellow believers in the Lord, and they suffered the loss of their brother Lazarus, and it was a source of great grief to them. You think also of Abraham the patriarch. He mourned and he wept over the death of his beloved wife Sarah, and he said, "Let me bury my dead out of my sight." There's the affliction of sorrow and death that comes to every home and every family. And the home and the family of the Christian does not escape this. Then there can also be the burden of disappointment. Maybe our hope of someone, indeed our hope of something, does not come to pass. It fades away like the morning dew. Indeed, the Bible says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." Then we can say further, there's the awful burden of sin that we have to deal with as well as God's people, and how that troubles us as Christians. Yes, we can be grieved with sin and in the world around us, in society around us. This was the case with Lot, righteous Lot. The Bible says that Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah on a day-to-day basis. May the sins of this ungodly world grieve our hearts as the people of God. Then we can be grieved with our own sin, that old sinful nature within us as the people of God, that old vile, filthy nature that remains with the child of God until the believer enters into heaven. You turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 6, and you'll see this was something that concerned and troubled Isaiah. Isaiah was saved. He was a great servant of God, but he felt the weight of that old sinful nature within him in the presence of God. Look at what he says in Isaiah chapter 6 and the verse number 5. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." There he was speaking, testifying as a believer, as a child of God, about his own concern, about that burden of that old Adamic sinful nature within him that he had inherited from Adam and Eve, his first parents, in the Garden of Eden. That is something that troubles us all as the people of God. Yes, our text here in Psalm 55 and the verse number 22 says, "Thy burden." It says, "Cast thy burden." Underlying that little phrase in your Bible, believer, "thy burden." Yes, in this life, child of God, you and I cannot escape. We cannot avoid the realities and certainties of trials and burdens in this life as we journey to heaven. Yes, burdens in this life of one kind or another are a reality, are a certainty that we have to deal with. But look again at Psalm 55, verse 22. In the second place, we can say that our text shows the Christian what he is not to do with the burdens of life. What he is not to do with the burdens of life. In verse 22, David says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." Now notice carefully there what David does not say in this verse. It's important that we mention this. You look at the verse very carefully and you'll see that he does not say, "Doubt God in the burdens of life." But sadly, David does give way to doubt at this time in his life. And you see that from what he says in verse 1, the opening verse of the psalm. When he says there to God, "Hide not thyself from my supplication." He doubted God's presence. He doubted that God would hear his prayer. And child of God, never doubt the presence of God in your life as a believer. Don't go down that road. The Lord's promise to his people is this: "I will never leave thee nor forsake." That's God's covenant promise to his people, a promise that he cannot break. Also, never doubt that God hears prayer, because God is a prayer-hearing God. That's the mercy of God, the grace of God, that he hears prayer. 1 Peter 3 verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." God hears prayer. Can I say also, we are not to complain or indulge in self-pity when we have to contend with the burdens of life. And sadly again, David succumbed to this on this occasion. Look at verse 2 of the psalm. He says, "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." There he is mourning. There he is, as it were, carrying a complaint in his heart and soul at this time. The Bible says to you and I as Christians, as we live in this world and deal with all the burdens of life, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." We're not to murmur or complain against God because of the burdens of life. Also in trials, we are to guard against despair. And again, we see how David yielded sadly to despair at this time. Look at verse 4 of the psalm. He says, "My heart is sore pained within me. The horrors of death are fallen upon me." And you can write over that verse the despair of David at this time. overwhelmed with despair. He was the same as Elijah. Elijah, the great prophet of God, when he ran from Jezebel, he was overcome with despair. And his despair was so great that he wished that his very life, and he prayed that prayer, and God didn't answer it, but he prayed that his very life would be taken from him. Child of God, do not succumb to despair in the burdens of life. Also, we are to avoid stay fast to the pathway of duty. We are not to avoid the path of duty when trials come our way, when trials arise. We're not to run away from the duty that God would have us to do and God has commanded us to do. And sadly, this was something again that affected David at this time. He wanted to go away from it all. Look at what he says in verse number 6 of the psalm. He says, "And oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." He just wanted to get away from everything, from the path of duty that was his lot as a Christian at that time. And dear child of God, in the burdens and the trials of life, we are not to avoid the path of duty that God has set out for us and that God wants us to do. You think again of Jonah, the prophet. He ran away from the will of God. He ran away from the path of duty. God said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach unto that great city the preaching that I bid thee." But he said, no. He took a ship to Tarshish. And what happened? Jonah just brought more trouble upon him. And that trouble became great when he was down in the fish's belly in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. He should have been en route to Nineveh to preach the word that God had told him to preach. Dear Christian, can I say to you this morning, in this age of falling away, and it is an age of terrible falling away from the things of God, you and I, we are to stand fast in the ways of God, no matter what the burdens are. We are to stand fast for the word of God. We are to continue to turn away from evil and false religion. We are to be steadfast and unmovable in our work for God, no matter what the burden, the trial is. Why, we're to be like Shammah in the day of battle. What a man Shammah was. The Bible says very little about him, but one thing it does say about him, he's a man who stood fast for God in the day of burden, in the day of trial. Turn with me in your Bible back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and look with me please at verse 11 and the verse number 12. And here you'll read about this character, Shammah, one of David's mighty men, and how he stood for God in the day of battle. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 and verse 12. It says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hagarite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines." The Philistines were the age-old enemies of Israel. They were coming in to plunder the land, to take this crop of lentils. And the Bible says the people fled from them. But look at what it says about Shammah. Look at verse 16, or verse 12. "But he stood steadfast, sure. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And he slew the Philistines." And it says, "And the Lord wrought a great victory that day." Shammah stood in the midst of the ground. He stood steadfast in the day of battle. He didn't quit. Didn't throw in the towel. He didn't give up. He didn't run away from the fight. No. He was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Christian, that's the example you and I must follow in life, in the battles of life, and the burdens, and the trials of life. Also then, as God's people, can we say this as well, that in the burdens of life, we are not to get bitter towards others. We're not to be consumed and allow ourselves to be consumed with bitterness towards others. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Christians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And there, Paul was writing to Christians how they were to treat their fellow believers. I mean, there was a grievance with some other believer over some particular matter. Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And Christian, that's the pathway you and I also are to follow in the burdens and the trials of life. No matter who offends us or grieves us, we're not to be consumed with bitterness, because if it gets into our soul, it's like a cancer in our soul. It will eat away at our hearts and minds and rob us of fellowship with God and destroy our work with God and our walk with God and our usefulness in the service of God. Can I say also, believer, whenever others oppose you because of your faith in Christ, show compassion toward them and seek to win them to Christ. The Bible says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Child of God, show to the unconverted the love of Christ. Seek to win them to Christ and spread the message of the gospel to them and see them saved by the grace and power of God. But notice thirdly here, notice the pathway that the Christian must take with the burdens of life. What is the Christian to do? What's the pathway the Christian is to take? Well, the Christian must accept that the burdens of this life have been permitted to come their way by the Lord. You notice that word burden in our text. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. If you have a Bible with a central margin, it gives the meaning and the original of the word, you'll see that that word burden simply means gift. That's what it means in the original. In other words, something that God has given, or God has allowed, or God has permitted. You remember how the Lord spoke to Peter? And as he was speaking to Peter about his own death and sacrifice upon the cross, in verse 11 of John 10, Christ says this, he says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He's talking there about his awful sufferings of the cross, and he says, the cup which my Father hath given me. He knew it was all allowed and permitted by God the Father. And dear Christian, whenever trials and burdens come, sicknesses and loss, whatever they are that come our way, remember this, that God has allowed them. God has permitted them for some purpose in our life, because God is sovereign in all things. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Remember this, that God is working out his purpose in your life, dear Christian, and the burdens of life. Yes, trials, yes, can be sent to draw us each one closer to the Lord. My, when everything is going well, if we're honest, we're prone to forget the Lord. We're prone to forsake the means of grace. Also, trials can be used to cause us to glorify the Lord even in a greater fashion. Job could say of the Lord, when he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But as well as accepting that our trials have been allowed and permitted by God, we are also to cast our burden, whatever that burden is, we're to cast it upon the Lord in prayer, and we are to leave it with him to work out things for us in that situation, whatever it is. And that's really the meaning here behind these words of verse 22, where it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. It means really to roll that burden upon the Lord, to leave it at the Savior's feet in the place of prayer. That's what you and I are to do with the burdens of life. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Christian, are you carrying a burden today? Something that is weighing you down? Something that has greatly affected you and troubled you? Maybe you've been talking to other people about that burden, but have you talked about it to the Lord? Have you brought it to the Lord? Have you cast it down at the Savior's feet? Remember Simon Peter, whenever his mother-in-law was ill, what did they do? It says, and they tell him that's the Lord of her. In other words, they prayed and they told the Lord about the problem, about Peter's mother-in-law who was ill. They brought the burden to the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse number 6. And look at what is said there. It says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't allow ourselves to be consumed by by worry or fear or fretfulness. Here Paul is addressing you and I who are saved. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, notice it, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whatever that burden is, let it be known. Roll it upon the Lord in the place of prayer. Bring that burden today, Christian, whatever it is, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Remember the words of the hymn writer Joseph Scriven, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. How true those words are. They've been proven time after time after time by the people of God. Child of God, whatever your trial is today, whatever your burden is today, I say to you, I counsel you to bring that burden to the Lord in prayer. This is the pathway to victory. In the cares of life, in the burdens of life, this is the right way to dealing with life's problems. This is the right path in dealing with the burdens of life. No matter how great those burdens are, you bring that burden to the Lord. Talk it over with the Lord. Cast it at the Savior's feet and leave it there. Notice one final thought here from our text this morning in Psalm 55 and the verse number 22. Notice the blessing for the Christian who casts his burden upon the Lord. Notice the blessing that is spoken of and that is promised by God himself at the latter part of this verse. It says, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a promise. That word sustain there really means to nourish or to strengthen. That little phrase there, never suffer the righteous to be moved, means being endowed with a spirit of steadfastness from the Lord. Believer, by casting your burden upon the Lord in prayer, the promise is that the Lord will give you strength. He'll give you the strength that you need, specific to you, to deal with that problem, to deal with that burden. Turn with me in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter number 40, the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Look at the very last verse of that chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And this is all about prayer. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Christian, it's by casting your burden upon the Lord in prayer that you and I can be renewed in our strength, given divine strength to go on living for Christ, serving the Lord, doing the will of God. Whenever Paul prayed about his thorn in the flesh, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. What a promise. Also, Christian, whatever your path of duty is, whatever God has asked you to do and given you to do for his honor, for his glory and his service, no matter how great the trial may be, no matter how great your burden may be, God promises you grace. He promises you strength, strength to remain faithful and true to the task, faithful and true to your calling. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. You read and study the life of the Apostle Paul. It had many, many trials of one kind or another. But what was Paul's testimony at the end of his life? And it wasn't because of anything of Paul or of self or of man, but it was really the triumph of the grace of God in his life. And this is what he said as he came to the end of life's journey. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And this was the triumph of the grace of God in his life. And dear believer, God's grace has not changed. There's no end to the well of God's grace. It's a well that faileth not. It's a well that never runs dry. Believer, the Lord has not changed, and his grace is sufficient, I tell you, to help you today, to help you tomorrow, to help you this week, whatever, with the burdens and the trials of life. His grace is sufficient to help you deal with the heat of the day, so to speak. Think again of the words of John Newton. He could say of the Lord and his grace, he could say, 'Twas grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.' He was triumphing in the grace of God. Believer, you and I, in the burdens of life, whatever those burdens are, maybe work, home, family, God's work, something else that concerns us that perhaps nobody knows anything about, you too can triumph in the same amazing grace of God today. Listen to what our text says. It says, cast thy burden, that which is particular to you, cast it upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. That's personal. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And dear friend, today as you listen, let me say this. If you are still unsaved today, whoever you are, wherever you are, I would urge you now today to come to Christ for salvation. Repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. Confess your sins to the Lord and trust in Christ. Trust in His sacrifice. Trust in His shed blood upon the cross of Calvary to save your soul, to cleanse away your sin, to make you right with God. Praise God, when you trust in Christ as a poor and needy sinner, you shall be saved for time and for eternity. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened down with sin and the guilt of sin, the fear of sin and what it is doing in your life and where it is taking you to a lost eternity? Now come with that burden today to Christ. Confess your sins by faith to Christ. Ask Him to save you. Seek Him now for salvation, and He will save you. Then go on in the Christian life. Know what it is to cast every burden, every care upon the Lord, and live for the Lord's honor and the Lord's glory until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And praise God, He is coming one day. What a day that will be. For until He calls you home to glory in His will and in His time, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence today with us around the Word of God. As we have preached Thy Word, as we have sought to bring before the people the great truths of this verse, let man's word pale into insignificance, Lord. But let Thy Word dwell richly in the hearts of all those who have listened and all who will listen. May it be an encouragement today for the saints of God that are burdened down with the trials of life. And there are many who are burdened down at this time, O God. Lift that burden. Help them, Lord, by Thy grace to cast that burden upon Thee and to rest upon the sufficiency of Thy grace. But Lord, for any that are unsaved, laboring, carrying an awful burden of the guilt and the weight of their sin, perhaps have tried everything, yet they've found no release. Oh, may they flee to Christ today, to the arms of the Savior. Know what it is to be saved by the grace of God for time and for eternity. Bless your word to this end. Bless us throughout this thy day, wherever we might be in our homes. May we know much of the Savior's presence and nearness. Enable us to gather again this evening around the word of God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be the blessed and abiding portion of all who know and love Thee this day and always. Amen.